All right, just suppose that we reimagined the reading that I just did, this week's Bible reading, and wondered how it would play out in different ages. Not different ages of people, but different ages of time. Like the early Middle Ages. That's the time that we often refer to as the Dark Ages, and scholars are starting to redefine what it's called. But the early Middle Ages, the time period that includes Muhammad, Charlemagne, and the Vikings. So it's a long time ago. Jesus traveled to the place he was born, followed by who many thought were his subjects. And it was on the day to worship, and he disrupted the rules by teaching without permission. The things he said amazed the ones who heard. They could not understand how someone who lacked any kind of respectable upbringing could have any knowledge or power at all. They took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Your respect and honor is for anyone except the ones that come from here." He was disturbed that they would not believe. Then he went out to the smaller areas and healed a few people. Then he called the ones thought to be his subjects and sent them out to the towns all around. He told them to take nothing with them and to expect hospitality from those they met. If the welcome was absent, he instructed them to leave town while making insulting gestures against those who refused hospitality. So they went out and told people to turn from their wicked ways. They cast out demons and cured those who were sick. Kind of similar, but that's a Middle Ages version. But how about the High Middle Ages? Or the first one was the Early Middle Ages or the Dark Ages. Now the High Middle Ages are kind of what we know as the Middle Ages. Jesus came to his hometown with a band of followers. It was the High Holy Day and he came to the place of worship to teach. Those who were there did not understand. "What is he talking about?" they said. "What is all about this love and forgiveness? What is all this with healing and with total submission to God on high?" They took offense at him. Jesus told them that their ways of expressing love were completely wrong, that they had no way to see that from him. Or they had no way to see that from him because he wasn't one of the elite. He did heal a few people, but no one really noticed. He went and taught in the surrounding provinces. Then he gathered his band and sent them out, not to conquer in his name, but to share love and healing. He told them that they would be taken care of, but if they weren't, they should leave. So they went out without any weapons, and they preached about love and healed those all around. The High Middle Ages, the time of the Crusades, the Magna Carta, the Mongol invasions. Or then we get to the time of the Reformation. That's Martin Luther and John Calvin and this guy who nobody's heard of, at least in most circles, Huldrych Zwingli. Who's heard of Zwingli? There we go. Good theologian. Thank you, Brian. He was Swedish, yeah. Jesus left where he was and ended up with his disciples where he was from. He went to church and started talking to the folks as if he knew something special. They heard him, but he wasn't speaking about the rules and customs they knew and understood. He even healed people who were sick. They argued with him and ultimately told him that he must not speak of such things. He had no business doing so because he was not authorized to speak. And furthermore, he was just a child who grew up with them. They took offense at him. Jesus told them that if he had come from the outside telling them the things he said, they might listen, but they couldn't see through their preconceived ideas. He stopped at that point, though he did heal a few people later. He went to the surrounding towns and spoke to the people there. Then he called his disciples and sent them out with only the clothes they were wearing. He told them to trust the people in the surrounding towns to take care of them, but if they didn't, that they should belch loudly and leave. So the disciples went out and told the people that God's love was for them and that no one could take it away from them, no matter what. So they went out and preached about faith in and from God, and they brought healing to many. Reformation. Now we'll move ahead to the time of the U.S. Civil War with folks like Owen Lovejoy. You know who Owen Lovejoy is, right? Owen Lovejoy from Princeton, Congregational pastor and abolitionist, and Abraham Lincoln, giving voice to movements to end slavery in the United States. Jesus had been on the road, and he took some time to come back to his hometown. He had quite a following with him. He went to the church and began teaching that all are part of God's family and that no one should be treated as less than a person. Many agreed with him, as they had on the road, but others were skeptical and even angry. "Where does he think he is? Washington?" they said. "We know who he is. He's a nobody from nowhere, just like us. He can't say or do anything that will matter a bit." And they took offense at him. Jesus told them that folks everywhere heard him and trusted in what he said, but that here nobody could see past their ideas and that he was just a local kid. He didn't do anything really impressive in his hometown, though he did make a few sick people well. He was amazed that they wouldn't listen to him. Then he went out to the local towns and continued telling his message. He called together those who were following him, and he sent them out to teach and to heal. He told them to do no fundraising in preparation and to go without any supplies, that the townsfolk would take care of them. If the townsfolk rejected them, he said they should move on and not let the door hit them on their way out. So they went out and preached love and equality for all the people. They brought restoration and healing to the towns all over. Now move forward to the time of the Civil Rights Movement. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Otis Moss Jr., Jesse Jackson. Jesus came home joined with his friends from all different backgrounds. He went to the church and started to teach about the equality of all people. He told them that he came to upset the apple cart of power. They were amazed at what he said. They wondered how this local child could know things of such magnitude. They didn't think he had the right to speak, being a person who didn't have the right color skin. They took offense at him. He told them that they couldn't see past their own worn-out ideas of race and power. He didn't try to impress them, but he did heal a few people. Then he went out to the places where the descendants of slaves lived in small homes, and he started preaching. And then he called his friends together and he sent them out to the small settlements and to the towns. He told them to just go, nothing with them at all. He said that the people out there would care for them. And if they didn't, then they should kick up some dust and head on out. So they went out and told the people that they needed to get things right, that justice for all people was on its way. They found that people were changed by their presence. They preached and prayed, and people were healed. How about if we reimagined this morning's Bible reading from today's I culture? Not I culture, but I as an internet culture. So Jesus finished up blogging and went to the Facebook group where he and his closest friends would gather to chat. He posted some profound things in the main community pages, and some of the folks were amazed that someone who had no business writing profound things was doing it. Several made snarky comments about his family and his upbringing and pointed out that someone ought to talk some sense into him. They took offense at him. Of course, Jesus responded to their comments by saying that folks outside our community like me, what's your problem? And he decided that he wouldn't write much more for them at all. Then he went back to the Facebook group where his closest friends would gather to chat, and he told them to make lots of new groups on Facebook and MyUCC and MySpace, although he rethought the MySpace thing when he looked at the usage trends, and many other social network sites. He told them that they should even join Twitter. He wrote to them just to make the groups. No intense web design and no pre-planned discussion questions. He also said that if they made the groups and the folks were started making an overabundance of snarky comments and hate messages, that they should make an "I'm closing this page" announcement and go on to the next opportunity. So they made groups and welcomed folks, offering them a reason and a way to turn towards the still speaking God. They prayed with folks in real-time prayer chapels, offered words of encouragement and healing with posts and comments and forum discussions. Many people experienced a reconnection and a restored awareness of faith in their lives. In any age, Jesus' message of God's love for all the people and all the world, it's a subversive one. Not subversive in a way that lots of people don't get it, but subversive in that it upsets the apple cart of power. When you start saying that God's love is for everyone, those who are in the in crowd who don't want those in the out crowd to be part of that club say that's a subversive message. So Jesus' message is a subversive one. It threatens those who see power as something to push others down. It threatens that those who abuse power will become powerless. It promises healing and restoration for the ones who live in places of powerlessness and hopelessness. It promises unconditional love for all. And you know, Jesus' message of love, of God's unconditional love, is not about patriotism at all. It's not about any form of national pride, for that matter. God's love knows no boundaries. And God's blessings are not reserved for any one nation. Jesus' message of God's love for all is a subversive one. And we, the church, we are sent out to share that subversive message of God's unconditional love for all the people. We are sent out to share the story of how Jesus has changed our lives. We are sent out step by step. We are sent out because of Jesus. And there will always be those who take offense at him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your timeless truth. Thank you that we have Jesus to look to as an example. We have Jesus' love. We have your love to live, to experience, and to share. Help us to share that love with all we meet. Help us to continue sharing that love, whether or not we find folks who take offense at you. In Jesus' name, amen.